My dear friends, two archaeologists, a Greek and Egyptian, were arguing over who came from the most advanced ancient civilization. The Greek said that it was obvious his country, he said. Why, digging in Corinth, we found copper wires buried under the village. So this proves we already had telephone wires in the 6th century BC. The Egyptian replied, well, we dug under one village that dates back at least that far and found no wires at all. This proves we had already gone wireless. My dear friends, countries want to be number one. Colleges want to be number one. Banks wants to be number one. Maple Leafs wants to be number one. Individual want to be number one. That is one of the most natural instincts that God has given us. We all want to be number one. We want it for ourselves, and those who are parents want it for their offspring. We live in the competitive world. Companies compete, colleges compete, hospitals compete, individuals compete. So we turn all kinds of things into competitions. The desire to get ahead, the desire to rise to the top, the desire to be number one has driven many people to live productive lives. That's the nature of our society. Winning is important to us. Pride is important to us. Prestige is important to us. Our society is based on different level of competition. Just see Bill Gates and the late Steve Jobs. We are both very competitive. That is why we have two of the greatest technology corporations in the world. That is why we enjoy many innovative products. So many people have made major contribution to society primarily because they were hard, driving, ambitious people. God would not strip us of our ambition. Blind ambition can be destructive. Ambition under God's control can be used in a powerful way. If you are really want to be number one, says Jesus, be number one, serving God and your neighbor. And you know who were number one? See, just look at the saints. They are number one of serving God and serving people. Just look at Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. It's a great example that she was a number one. In today's gospel text, Jesus is giving his followers a new identity, an identity as his disciples. But despite of all he has revealed about the kingdom of God, despite the shocking passion prediction he has declared, his closest chosen disciples still don't get it. Two disciples desired at any price to sit next to Jesus in paradise. They came to Jesus with their request the moment Jesus had finished telling them about his suffering, death, and resurrection. They had recognized Jesus as the Messiah King of Israel, and heard him refer often to his kingdom. So they ask him to give them two top places in his royal kingdom, one on the right hand and the other on his left, when he comes into his glory. So St. Mark tells us that their request showed that they had no understanding whatever of what Jesus had told them about his work as Messiah. And Jesus explained to them his view of greatness and success in life, teaching them to be spiritually minded. Jesus told the disciples, to become great, they have to be as servants. To be first, they must be slaves to all. Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So his example of perfect love is our example. There is no indication in this passage of the gospel that the disciple ever understood what Jesus was saying about discipleship. His teaching on discipleship was challenging when Jesus offered it to them. So greatness consists not in what we have or in what we can get from others, but in what we can give of ourselves to others. This is the greatness. So you can already look at your heart and you can check your own personal greatness. How much time and talent did you give back to the community, to the church, in the last 8-10 months of this year? It shows of your spiritual greatness. So therefore, those who are volunteering all the time, I would like to thank you. We have many, many great people. They're coming forward with their time and talent. They would like to be, or they are, the number one. Not those who are just, each time just they are asking. Those who are giving, they are the greatness. Not those who are feel they are entitled. Therefore, we are called for this servant leadership. In our society, the word service has many meanings. As Christians, we are all called to follow Christ with an attitude of service towards others. As many in our society strive for success, fame, and wealth, followers of Christ are called upon to look for opportunities to serve others, to love God and love others. Our celebration of the Eucharist is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God and each other, and our willingness to follow the example of Jesus Christ. So James and John needed their concept of power put into perspective. They thought they understood power. But Jesus shows them that real power resides in humble acts of service. And this is what I'm encouraging you to model Jesus of this humble service for God and others. So Jesus calls the disciples around him. And he says, whoever wants to be great, number one among you, must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. James and John taught that the path of discipleship, their faithful following of Jesus, would naturally lead them to the celebrated head table, to places of honor and rightful recognition in this world. So confident are they about this future that they try to force Jesus to promise that he will save them those places of honor at the table. But Jesus rejects James and John's seating chart. Headship is not the true identity of discipleship. Discipleship are great by becoming servants. The first in a lineup of Jesus' disciples is the one who is the slave of all. So the world may judge greatness by who is on top, who is on first. But Jesus declares to those who would follow him in some of the most powerful words of Scripture, "It is not so among you. It is not so among you." Because discipleship identity is not defined success or status, wealth or power. Discipleship identity is found in Christ, in following Jesus, in serving, loving God and others. So Jesus wants you to be number one, just like the saints. This is what God is cheering for you, that you can be number one. He wants us to serve our community and our world like no church or any community service organization has ever served. Just imagine that. Let's see, we have 400 people here for this Mass, or maybe so more. If each of you can sign up that you would like to do something for this church, then wow, maybe priests will line up, all of them, they would like to be pastors here because they see, wow, Holy Family changing the culture, changing the world. They heard the good news. They are taking seriously what Jesus is telling to the disciples to be number one in loving God and others. And then, just try to do that in your family, in your place of work, in the community, in the church. You know, goodness, it's attractive. When you see goodness, it attracts you. It's forcing you to do the same. But when no one wants to do it, it's not attractive. You don't want to join to somewhere that everyone is sleeping. You would like to go somewhere that people, they are vibrant, people, they are excited, people, they do something, all of them. This is the place you would like to be, am I right? Thank you, I thought you are not here. So someone once put it like this: life is a lot like the game of tennis. Those who don't serve, well, end up losing. And it's true. It's all right to be ambitious. But make sure you are ambitious about the right things. You are number one, that it's account in the eyes of God, not in the world. It's fine, it's important, but believe me, it's secondary. But number one at serving God and serving your neighbor, then you will never come to the end of your life and say, what a waste. And neither Jesus will say, what a waste. Instead, he will say, well done, you good and faithful servant. And this is the most important for us. The end of our life, God will say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. I saw you all the time. You signed up, and you loved me, and you loved your neighbors. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Go in my kingdom." And maybe, just like how James and John asked, Jesus will say, "Oh, come here at my right or the left side, because you did well." This is the number one. This is what Jesus was teaching his disciples. If you would like to be number one, then choose something which is count for eternity, not just, you see how many people they became famous in a second. They are famous. In an hour, they are everywhere. They are famous. In the next month, no one knows about them. They come and go. Saints, they are not like that. We ever remember them. Because why? Because of their spiritual greatness. And this is our vocation. This is our baptismal vocation, to live up our spiritual greatness. So I pray for you that you will realize this, and the good Lord will give you enough courage and strength and wisdom to find your own personal spiritual greatness. So think about that. What are you calling for? What you need to do, wherever you are, to fulfill, to be number one? And then the Lord will say to you, "It's a good steward, great job."